It's the guy that does my fire.
That's probably a good example to get the Republican.
Yeah.
He just proved to be incompetent, so by God, he goes. Now that gives us the opportunity to, if we find somebody, if somebody else, you know, I don't know what can be done about it. All like that, just often be in the job, that's all.
He's a GS-16 career civil servant, so it's possible he'll appeal. On the other hand, even if he appeals, and there's a case about it, at least that even dramatizes a little more the fact that something's being done.
We want Reagan to know that we trust him. So, just so you get these incompetent people, you know. They're either, some are incompetent, some like Charlie Yost are disloyal. But either one are screwed, smart one are screwed, the others are just, he may be down over his head.
Well, I would say, I don't know, it's a little hard to tell from the Vita, but I should think probably that's right.
Just doesn't know.
Keeping the tax rates in effect even longer And it would, in other words, this tax take would come out of the last half of calendar 1971. If that were done, it would mean in the 72 budget an increased revenue of approximately $4 billion. That's both revenue, and of course you have to think about it also as it's less money in the hands of individuals. Both ways, that's right. It would have the impact, if that stayed in, of an additional $2 billion in fiscal 73 over the 9,000 increase that they've already voted. The other thing that they're talking about is to leave the year 1971 alone, and instead of increasing the wage base to $9,000 in January 1972, to increase it to $10,200. That would mean, that would have its practical impact in the last half of calendar 1972, in the sense that the tax deductions would continue on.
The last half of calendar 72 was just the first of fiscal 73.
That's right. It was the first half of fiscal 73. Well, the reason it doesn't have any impact is that most people don't reach an income of $9,000 by the time half the year has gone by. And that, if they did that in fiscal 73, that would have the impact of an additional $3.5 billion as compared with the $9,000 level that they have in effect. It would have no effect in fiscal 72, even though the change would be in effect for half of fiscal 72. It wouldn't make any difference in terms of income, or practically none, because of the way the thing works. Now, so that's the layout of the problem.
Which way did the people lean?
The Herbstein, Murray Wiedenbaum level of economists are not as optimistic, I would say, as let's say I am, as it turns out that John Connolly is. Paul McCracken is not quite as optimistic as John and I, but pretty much so. That's sort of analytically. John Connolly feels that we should go ahead and take the money by 171, stick with our budget, and this is by way of his thinking that our problem in 72 is going to be, have we fought inflation hard enough? And
Well, it may, in terms of the psychology of whether or not your budget is deficit is this or that size.
And the posture that we have. And of course it is a substantively...
Herb thinks you need the money in the economy to keep it loose.
Herb would leave it alone. Paul would leave it alone. Now, I've talked to Arthur about it. He's
good.
Back. Arthur thinks that it would be a mistake to change the tax rates even in January 1971. He would just leave everything the way it is, regardless of the additional expenditures involved. In other words, Arthur has sort of...
He's more pessimistic than anybody else.
...completely let go as far as any concern about budget deficits and so forth are concerned.
He believes we should have a wage price for it, in other words.
Well, I think he believes there should be strong fiscal stimulus and let the monetary policy be tight. And he also, I would judge from this, is not as impressed as, let's say, you and I and John Connolly are about what the economy is doing. And of course, we all have our uncertainties. We don't know. We are all trying to...
It's all depends on the consumer out there, what he really thinks, how long he's going to think that.
We have to provide a signal. I'm not saying we can swing it, but I think that that your view will be registered. Of course, what the administration does here, I'm sure, will become known, and so it does reflect back to the when the Social Security bill came.
Well, I certainly don't go with Arthur's view that we do nothing. Start with that. The second point is that, gamble George more on the, better gamble more on the expanding economy front than on the fighting inflation front, in my opinion. When I consider the numbers, I'm inclined to go for the 72, I mean, the 10, other people call it.
The 10-2.
And well, I think also politically that's more feasible. I think you're more likely to get that.
From the standpoint of our budget problem, in a sense, is more severe as we look at fiscal 73 than it is in fiscal 72. We're holding the full employment balance in fiscal 71. We're going to have a hell of a time doing it in fiscal 72.
But this is not fiscal 72, even this time.
The 10,200 does. The July 1, 9,800 would help us a great deal. It would help us tremendously, in fact.
For fiscal 72?
Yes, sir.
Why do you relate to doing it then?
Well, I don't, I wouldn't, I wouldn't want to urge that. The, because I, well, I think the economy is expanding all right. I think it's, there's plenty of question marks around.
Sure.
And Arthur's Federal Reserve policy is not a known quantity either.
You're tightening down.
I have to tell you that he's worked out a secret deal, by the way, that will help our dollar situation, and he'll tell you all about it. He didn't tell me what it was, but that you'll be very pleased.
That's great. Federal Reserve policy. Better shot on the 72. Sorry. In other words, the calendar 72. I think it's safer, better take by a little insurance for keeping the economy going rather than fighting inflation. That's inflation we just have to face up to.
Okay.
If we can affect the battle dialogue, I don't know if you think we can.
Well, we can. And even if we and the position we take will be noted. Even though these meetings are off the record, or not off the record, but they're not public meetings. In the record committee of ways and means, what we can say is that we fiscal 73 looks like a tremendous problem to us. And if we're faced with a choice, we'll take as much revenue as we can get in fiscal 73, and we'll just have to reluctantly swallow it in 72,
right,
since the Congress has done us in.
All right, good. Let's do that.
Here is a draft of this talk.
Good.
If you wanted to glance through it, I'd appreciate any thoughts that you have. It's not all that profound. Well, if you could, I'd go through things with a face that amazes me.
Sir, the lady would be there.
No, it's a black tie evening thing.
Is the economic club or the commercial club?
The economic club.
Commercial club. Well, she has black.
Yeah. Well, it's smaller. The economic club meetings are about 1,200.
They're much bigger. I know, but I didn't. I've done that a couple times. They're always at noon.
I'm going to meet with the executive committee of this club at noon on Thursday, and then meet with various business groups in the afternoon.
The slowing of the economy has been mild, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you really come down and they write the period of this time, a lot of them are going to look back at the television reports and newspaper reports and all the rest and say, now what in the hell was all the hysteria about?
Yeah.
Compared with other periods, compared with 50.
just all my young people want an automobile.
They like the car. Well, they don't want a car, sure. Of course, this one had a radio and a few other little things. Why not? I mean, just because the young people are liberal, that they're, which most young people are, that therefore they aren't going to be interested in trivial things. The hell they aren't. I don't buy that. They're not supposed to, according to the...
Threaten will go up the law on this.
Free market is all about the main self class of force. When this is a performance for agents. You rise above 30%.
Yes, sir. We just have the figures. They're going to be published Friday.
That's very good.
That's 5.3.
Is that pretty good?
Yes, I think that's fine. We have a very high quarter over quarter wage change of 9%. For that same period, which is partly the shift, the relative importance of auto work, which is high wage work, but it's still a troublesome number.
That's right. Suggest that on the steel thing, if you do anything, job on a little more there. It's a very loose worky thing. And you're wrong, and on that, I would not hesitate to, you could say that we've discussed it, and I've discussed it, and I'm concerned about, you know what I mean, this is one of our top concerns, and this is the decision made, and I think everything's absolutely fine, Gregor, but I've had this thinking a way to get a lead into this thing. It will be very important to notice to these people, and if we didn't care, God is unhappy. I realize some of this thing with the LA law or maybe a little less. But to say that what really is it, if an irresponsible settlement weighs up leading to excessive price increases is agreed to in steel, that it will ricochet, the shockwaves will be felt. Or it will ricochet or shockwave or a word like that will pick up all over the American economy. But it will be a mortal blow to the strength of this industry, which is so basic to any industrial society. And I think something of that's point. That this is steel industry is in a watershed. The idea being is not that you say how much it ought to be or something like that, but it's a watershed and the steel industry's got to bat down the hatches and shape up, or it can not only hurt itself. Everybody knows that the repercussions around the rest of the industry. I really feel that a lot of people then won't pick that up. I mean, I don't think it's particularly, I don't think it's labor, but they'll know that coming from you particularly that we're concerned about it. In other words, this job won't indicate what the directly.
All right, the fact that I've taken in here is to emphasize productivity.
Oh, that's what I mean.
That even if they have no wage increase, they still have a problem.
Yeah.
And Clint Oldham and Joe Scanlon, who were vice presidents of the Steelworkers Union. They were very constructive people.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, I think this is exactly right. I would hypo a little in terms of rhetoric.
Okay.
Just a little in terms of rhetoric and be so they'll pick up the quote. An animated speech. I hope the audience is worthy of it.
I have a little stuff on trade there.
I saw that.
Perhaps leave that. We talked a little bit about that. I might even have had a sentence saying that you intend in this new council to see that the U.S. interests are taken care of in any negotiation.
Yeah, at this time that there be stronger and more active advocacy of representation. We've got to strengthen representation in our diplomatic missions abroad. We've got to strengthen our economic say this, this will shake the state up a little bit, but hear your thought. Our economic representatives abroad, I mean, of our, and as compared with some nations with whom we are in competition, and that I have determined that one of the major goals of this administration is to improve, upgrade the quality of the economic representation so that American business that goes abroad will be vigorously, its interests will be vigorously defended and vigorously advocated and presented and so forth. Do Senate move. Colleague of mine at the University of Chicago said the reasoning is rather problematic. Mr. Godsakes, let's do something. You're right. No, I don't know. You know, I have to talk to them. I have to talk bearishly. I mean, bullishly. But George, those smart apples up there in Wall Street, I still say, I know those guys just like to live with them for 6 years. They don't make decisions. They usually aren't that far wrong for that long a time. In other words, they're 11 months now that they're betting on the future, and they're betting bullish. You know, they study these things over and over and over again. Now, they are always right. I mean, sometimes they overreact. Maybe they're overreacting now. But I think, I don't know how you do, but I just have a feeling, my own feeling is more an intuition, a gut reaction. We sit here in Washington, New York, and we depress ourselves by all the rhetoric and the political talk and all the rest, which is basically negative pessimistic and wants us to lose. But around the country, I have a feeling that the psychology, consumer psychology, is significantly changing. I'm based on Michigan versus Michigan voters and everything else. I've seen those things. I don't care what they say. But that psychology, I think it's really changed significantly in the last month, starting about the 1st of March. Something has happened into it.
That's my belief, and also that if the kind of budget that's in place there, strong monetary policy, those policies will produce a result.
They always have in the past, and they will in the future, and it's a mistake to loosen them before they had a chance to work. Well, that's the reason they don't change the plan. I mean, after all, it's only that we're now going into this. We've been through the first quarter. Maybe we haven't scored a touchdown yet, but they haven't either. So do you change the plan? Do you throw anything?
No. Well, there'll be a lot of ridicule.
Sure.